Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is one more episode of our series on learning disabilities. And working with me and talking with me and doing this program with me is Dr. Linda Price. Dr. Linda Price is a retired professor from Temple University. Linda and I have worked on a number of projects together. And we together decided that when we were looking for programs that we could do on disability-related issues, one of the things that we felt was so important was the issue of learning disabilities. Number one, because it's a hidden disability. You don't walk around and people don't know if you have a learning disability or not. Secondly, we found that there is tremendous amount of literature and information on kids in school, pre-K to 12th grade, even in college, who have learning disabilities. And those issues are related to education and reading and those kinds of things. But there is relatively little research on how learning disabilities affect adolescents, the social aspects of adolescents, and also with adults who have learning disabilities. If you have a learning disability, it doesn't just automatically go away. And so you take it with you as you get older through a marriage, through having children and trying to guide them, and through employment. And those are all extremely important aspects of life. So what Linda and I are going to talk about today is, again, in that employment field. And we've talked about just a lot of the aspects of learning disability, different types of learning disability. But now we would really like to talk about going out and getting that job. Not easy for anyone, but again, if you have a learning disability, it makes it that much more difficult. And so this episode is going to be called What is the 21st Century Resume? What does it look like? And I think this is a really interesting topic. Well, I hope you will too. But so that is our topic. And Linda, what would you say first about the 21st century resume for persons with learning disabilities?
Well, the first thing that I would do is we've talked a fair amount in another broadcast about a resume. And so I'd like to kind of couple that with the 21st century job interview, because those go hand in hand. And what we're going to be talking about over the next couple minutes are definitely important ideas for anybody, whether they have a disability or not. But for people, in this case, with learning disabilities and dyslexia, these are critical to whether they get the job or not. And remember that the number one unemployed group, minority group in the United States, are people with disabilities. So this is not just you and I sitting around, you know, having a glass of wine and some pizza. This is like real-world stuff. People with disabilities have a much, much, much harder time finding a job and then keeping a job. And one of the key components to that seems to be getting your foot in the door. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, when I was doing research on this topic, here's another thing that I found out that I think was really important. Persons who have disabilities can get a job. But usually when you think about employment, let's say you're going to go to work at Walmart or Costco or someplace. generally what you would do is you would have probably get a job that's kind of a, I guess we call floor level or bottom level job. And then as you do more work and as you prove yourself, you're given more responsibilities. You're usually given or hopefully given higher pay. And you move up in the company. One of the things that we found research-wise about persons with disabilities is that they tend to stay in the same location. In other words, they're not looked at as much to move up. We've got them in a job that they're relatively successful in, and let's leave them there. So, you know, really, if you have equality, people with learning disabilities are hired and fired at the same rates everybody else is. Mm-hmm. We find out that they tend to get a job and stay in that job for a long, long time. Your thoughts on that?
Well, the research has clearly shown, and it's been consistent over a number of years. And by the way, if any of your listeners, when we talk about research throughout these, if they want the citations or if they want to follow up on any of this information, they could just let us know, right, Steve?
Sure, so we've got lots of
on to the links and articles.
Lots
and
of links and things we can send to them. Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not the kind of person that believes in selling snake oil. You know,
that's right.
It's like, you know, what we talk about
it. Well, it depends if you can sell it or not. You know.
Well, again, don't want to sell it.
All right. So we're past that. All right.
Right, but the point is that. One of the things that was amazing to me when I was looking, you and I, Steve, are both basically from the 20th century. And we've taught classes and worked with adolescents and adults with a range of disabilities about jobs. You know, you fill out the resume. You know, if they call you for an interview, you put on your suit, you clean yourself up. You know, you practice maybe with a friend or whatever to answer some questions, and then you go to the interview. Some of that is still true in the 21st century, but there's a whole lot that's very different. And I think for people with learning disabilities, that's where it gets a little strange. For example, right now, well, I want to read you this wonderful quote that I found. It said, "The modern interviewing process is much more interactive and challenging and is designed to offer employees insight not only into your skills, but also into your personality." And one of the things that some 21st century recruiters are talking about is selling your brand to the employer. And this, I think, is especially true when we're talking about white-collar jobs, jobs where you have a bachelor's or a master's degree. And it's almost like now you're selling soap. You know, you and I never thought of ourselves that way. But what you have to do is you have to go out, because a lot of the interviews now, especially after COVID, and we might want to talk about this a little bit, Steve, a lot of the interviews now are done totally online.
Right.
They don't do face-to-face interviews anymore, which if you're somebody that comes across really good online or on Zoom, I mean, we've all done, you know, how many hundreds of meetings on Zoom.
Right.
Or if you're doing FaceTime, you know, or any of those, if you come across really good in that medium, that's going to help you in an interview. If you're an adult with attention deficit disorder and you have problems with eye contact and your eyes are constantly moving all over the screen, or when you get nervous, maybe, you know, you flutter your eyes a bit or you're looking down, you're not looking at the person's face, all of that can keep you from getting the job.
And especially
isn't that
when
amazing?
It is, and especially when you have things focused on you, or you're talking into a microphone like we are.
Right.
You know, sometimes some of the people that I interviewed in different series that were in positions where they talked to a lot of people all the time, that was part of their job. You put them in front of a microphone.
Right.
And you give them an open-ended question, and they say, yes, no, maybe.
Exactly.
And it's a different environment. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, another thing that's interesting to me is, and again, this is maybe more with like white collar jobs or jobs where you have a degree. But let's be honest, those are the jobs where you're going to get more benefits and more job security and
sure.
hopefully job security and more money. So, you know, if we're talking about that you're going to apply to be a stocker at Walmart, you'll probably have a very different job interview than yeah. if we're, if, for example, you are a finalist for a position that is someone that's working maybe at a hospital or somebody that's working in as a computer programmer or somebody that's going to be an engineer. And one of the things that I didn't know anything about, maybe you do, Steve, is that these kinds of jobs require multiple interviews.
Right.
At different levels. And they go all the way, as a matter of fact, there's actually two different kinds of job interviews now that you're definitely going to go through online. One will be a screening, which may mean that you will be interviewed. You know, they may have seven or eight people for a position, and you will be interviewed individually online, maybe through a phone call. And then if you make that cut, then it's the selection when you really have to come across and you really have to sell yourself. And so it's. I think that's something we have not prepared a lot of our folks with LD for, is to tell them, okay, just because you aced the first job interview, that doesn't mean you've got the job.
Right. And I'm thinking of a little consulting job that I applied for recently. They have, this is true of universities, this is true of large corporations like Amazon and Expedia. A lot of times now, you will go through a headhunting kind of organization.
Right.
Looking at a little job back east, and yet the company that's asking me for proposals is a job hunting agency out of Florida, and they basically go through the job, make sure I have the right skills, and then they propose it to the to the place that I'm applying for. And they also use you can talk a little bit about this when you apply for a job, they look at algorithms. Can you tell me what an algorithm is?
And I can tell you as a layman what I think an algorithm is. Algorithms are certain formulas. Now, sometimes these can be computer formulas. Sometimes these can be statistical formulas. But they're formulas that, in this case, job recruiters and employers use to kind of weed through all the hundreds or maybe, hundreds and hundreds of electronic resumes, or thousands, I didn't know whether to say that or not, of electronic resumes. I think I said in the last program that I remember reading about a recruiter that was literally looking for 15 to 20 jobs simultaneously and was going through up to 6,000 resumes a week. So these folks are not going to sit down and read everything that's on your resume. So what they're going to do is they have access to certain software that then will statistically go through and scan to look for various keywords, various things that will make you stick out. And we talked a lot about, not using on your resume, not using fancy fonts and spacing and weird stuff. But which reminds me, I have a quick funny story to tell you about that if you're interested. Can I tell you quickly?
Yeah, go tell me a quick funny story.
Okay, this is a quick one. When I was on the committee at Temple University for many years for the master's and doctoral programs in the College of Education, and we literally, this is true, we got an application from somebody for graduate school that had the first page of the application done in chocolate.
Oh,
he had spent the Yes, he had spent the money to go to like a chocolate company, and they had put the actual application in a slab of chocolate. And that's what we got.
Wow.
Obviously, to get our interest.
Wow.
We had another guy that sent us his application, saying very proudly, he lived in a little bitty town in Connecticut, and saying very proudly that the mayor of that town had declared it, let's say his name is Billy Bob Sunshine, had declared it Billy Bob Sunshine Day in his little Connecticut
town.
Wow. Yeah.
I've never had a day named after me or anything.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. This is the kind of stuff you don't want to do.
Or, you know, I imagine there in your algorithm, there might be catchphrases like former inmate or things like that. But, I mean, I think that it's important as to what we, you know, the words that we do put in there.
Right.
And also, I think it's, you can set yourself apart positively and you can set yourself apart negatively. I did an interview with someone that, I was on the interviewing team, and this was for a superintendent's job of a school district. And he gave each person in the interviewing committee a little rock. And each rock had like a little expression on it, like hope or truth or, you know, things like, you know, kind of things like that. But he really didn't explain what we were, you know, so we all kind of sat there in this interview committee kind of fiddling with these rocks, you know. And so there has to be a purpose for what you do. And I think it used to also, this is true, I think that one of the things that we need to be aware of is that persons with learning disabilities are not going to apply for jobs that they can't do. I mean, I'm not going to apply for a job as a medical doctor. I'm not going to apply
right.
for a job. I mean, we apply for jobs that we think that that we can do. And it used to be that in transition programs in high school and working with adolescents, we used to always place kids that had disabilities, learning disabilities, physical disabilities, and what we used to call the two F's, and that was filth and flowers. You know, we taught these kids how to do maintenance, you know, pick up the garbage around the school.
Sure.
And or to work in flowers and landscaping and things like that. And
wow.
I always thought that that was really kind of demeaning to have these kids that were in special ed programs go around the school and, you know, pick up the trash for everybody else.
Right.
So I think I do think that employers are much better now at placing a person in a position that they know that they'll enjoy, that they'll want to do. Also, think about this, Linda, and tell me what you think about this. If I was a person with a learning disability or with a specific kinds of disability, and I do have a disability, I think now would be a great time to put your name out there because COVID is somewhat getting smaller, we assume. But every place that I go right now, every place, commercials on TV, commercials on the radio, it can be for somebody to, they have a place here called Beacon Plumbing. And it's, you know, their slogan is stop freaking call Beacon. But, you know, even on these ads that they want to come out and put a new heat pump in your house, they're saying, and we are looking for employees, and we are paying $3,000, $3,000 bonuses. Even in, I saw one when I was in Bend, Oregon, and you see these all over. Fast food restaurants, if you don't have tremendous amounts of educational skills, fast food restaurants, McDonald's, Wendy's. What kind of, I mean, you probably have all those in Mississippi too, but you know, maybe you have a Billy Bob's fried burgers or something, but
we have Pawpaw's Campers and Sales.
Ah.
Pawpaw's Campers and Sales. And Pawpaw's TV ads has a donkey in it, and it says, "Don't be an ass. Buy at Pawpaw's."
I like it. I like it. But
I
you know,
you would, I thought you would appreciate that.
But
that
I think, I think the issue is, and one of the things we're talking about is, you know, people are looking for employees right now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, local restaurant here in town, Dick's Hamburgers, which has always been very good about, you know, they hire a lot of college kids and do a lot of work with, you know, they provide tuition and they provide, you know, medical benefits and certain things. But they are now increasing their, I think their basic pay now for working in the these joints to at least $15 an hour, and in many cases, $21 or more per hour. So you can start to get at least a living wage at, you know, at those prices, unless, of course, inflation goes up. So if you were a person with a learning disability, how, just walk me through this. How would you go out and start to look for a job? What would be your first steps? Should you look for places like vocational rehabilitation? What should you do?
Well, it depends, first of all, where you live. And one of the issues that, to me, is really frightening about people with LD and dyslexia growing up is that there is no real safety net outside of the Americans with Disabilities Act at all for people, for older people with disabilities, period. So, for example, if maybe you're in the state of Washington, you could go through your local vocational rehabilitation office. But the problem is that we can't say that they're quotas, because that's not true. That's not really legal. But different vocational offices will have different kinds of caseloads. And they have often been so overwhelmed by people with LD coming in and asking for services that their names may tend to go at the bottom of the list, or there may not be they may not get help right away. So voc rehab can be a place to start, and it is state funded, but you're kind of rolling the dice when you do that. Another way to do it would be to do what everybody else does, which is to go to family and friends and to put your name out there and network as much as you possibly can. It really depends on, and again, Steve, I'd like to focus a little bit on folks with LD and dyslexia who have college degrees, because one of the real concerns, at least those folks that I've talked to, is they have gigantic student loan debts.
And
it's not unusual for, let's say, you've got a degree, maybe a bachelor's degree in education, and you want to be a teacher, and you have a learning disability, and you've gone and, you know, graduated with a decent GPA from a local college, and you could have $60,000 to $100,000 in financial aid debt. But the job that you're going to get is only going to pay $30,000 to $35,000.
Right.
So right away you're starting off behind financially. So a lot of times people with learning disabilities do what everybody else does, which is they work two or three jobs.
Yes, and you know one of the things that I have working with voc rehab in Washington State is. And I'm sure people have their horror stories, but I have worked with them and worked with clients, and I think they've been really, really done a good job. What I was told by someone with a learning disability and that worked for voc rehab was to say, don't go in and start the conversation by saying, I have a learning disability. Start the conversation saying, here's what I'd like to do. The other thing is that Voc Rehab works with job-related issues, of course. And mm-hmm. the other thing is to ask them, and a good counselor will do this first, is do some kind of an interest survey. Mm-hmm. So that you're not pointed towards a specific position that's available, you're pointed towards something that you're interested in. Now, Voc mm-hmm. Rehab in this state, if you have a learning disability, or if you have other types of disabilities, let's say you want to work, you want to be a hairstylist. They would provide training for you. I mean, not through Voc, through Voc Rehab, through another agency. And they can even supply you with the kinds of tools that you would need, scissors and mm-hmm. the things that you exactly. might take. If you wanted to get a job as a mechanic, I've seen situations where they've purchased tools for those persons, or mm-hmm. a person that wants to work on small engine mechanics, to provide that kind of information and to provide that kind of training. So what this person said again was, don't narrow, in other words, if you think about it as a funnel, you really do want to start out at the big end of the funnel and have lots of job possibilities and work down towards the small end of the funnel to where you have two or three jobs that you think you'd be interested in, and then focus on those. Voc Rehab can pay for mileage for you to get to a job. If you have a disability, if you've lost a job, you may also be able to get some payment through Social Security disability insurance while you're being trained. That happened to me when I first became disabled in 1970. And so those kinds of things are also really important. Linda, in the last 2 minutes here, tell me about also looking for your job market. What there are a lot of more things that you would do in maybe Mississippi or Louisiana that would not be jobs that you would have here. Talk about the job market just for a few minutes before we close this episode.
I will, but what I'd also like to do is talk about a couple specific forms of learning disabilities, if that's okay.
Okay. Real quickly here. We can carry it on to the next one.
Okay, very quickly. So, for example, there are some really good hints that we can talk about at another time about people that have dyspraxia, people that have dyscalculia, especially people that have dyslexia, people that have nonverbal learning disabilities, people that have executive functioning problems, people that have attention deficit disorder. There are some specific things that we could talk later about what they might want to think about when going into a job interview. But the bottom line is, when you're talking about looking for a market for your skills, is trying to figure out how you fit into a specific company. So, for example, you need to really get online and do your homework and figure out what you bring to that specific
and
company.
And with that, we can talk about on the next one.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.